It's Friday morning. That means Larry Weber joins us for Backyard Almanac, the educator, author, and naturalist, joining us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I hope you're enjoying the end of the year.
It's a beautiful, strange kind of winter with the icy crystals that we had.
Yeah, we have had quite a mixture this month. And if we look back on it, you know, this is the end of the year. We have a tendency to always look back on the year and then look forward to the next year. But if we look back on this month first, we will see that it, thanks to the temperatures of the past week, we have raised the average temperature for the whole month to be again above normal. I was hoping that December would be below normal, but no, we're going to end up a little over a degree above normal. The only month out of all 12 that was colder than normal was April. All the rest above normal. Well, if you put that all together, that tells us the year was, yes, warmer than normal, about 3 degrees warmer than normal. Precipitation has been an interesting one. Precipitation-wise, this month, yes, we again above normal. Above normal, also snowfall. As the Weather Service recorded 19.8 as of this morning. Now we're in the forecast for possibly some more today and tomorrow. I would like to see that number get pushed up over 20, and it could still happen. But anyway, we had precipitation above normal for most of the months this year, putting it almost 3 inches above normal for the whole year. Snowfall-wise, not quite as much, fairly close to normal. The November snows were late, but December, we've got quite a number of them. They've been weird. Christmas Day, you know, the last time I spoke was a little bit before Christmas, but Christmas Day, we had that freezing rain. And anybody who's doing any travel at the time will certainly remember that. It left something to be desired. I was caught in it just as it started. And I think had I traveled an hour or 2 hours later, it had been a lot more difficult. But anyway, the freezing rain came down and coated everything. Now, most of us know the coating of the roads and so forth, but it also coated the snow that we already had on the ground. And then, of course, the temperatures went down, and so it made for this real crusty covering. And for us, we may have a few problems in our travels, but we don't have anything life-threatening. Well, for some critters out there, it becomes life-threatening when you have a crusty cover like such. A good example is rough grouse. Rough grouse will bury themselves under the snow as a way of protecting from the cold. But if the snow gets ice-covered, sometimes they get trapped in that. Now, I haven't seen that yet in my wandering since then, but I wouldn't have been surprised if it happened. The other ones that find it difficult are the deer. The deer, there's not that much snow on the ground, and the deer have been able to move around pretty much anywhere they want. But with this crust, their hoofs will sink right through, and therefore walking can be a little bit difficult. Other critters of note, we have a whole group of small mammals, namely the shrews, the mice, and the voles that pretty much live under the snow. And when the snow is only crusted on the top, they can still handle that. But the access to going in and out is a little bit more difficult. It's interesting, the day after we got this crusty snow, I was in the backyard and I saw a short-tailed shrew, which is probably our most common shrew, running around on the surface of the snow. Now, normally they go beneath, but this one looked like it was running around trying to find a place to go under. Once we got this little snow cover, then they can once again go back and to move it. So right now, the light snow covering the crusty snow makes for just terrific tracking conditions for these small mammals. And yesterday, I found the small mammal tracks of squirrel, mice and vole and shrews, and both cottontail rabbit and snowshoe hare, and then I was a little surprised to find fox tracks. This fox apparently was light enough that could still go across the crust of the snow. I was not, and every time I took a step, I sunk. But nevertheless, it is still an interesting thing to take a look at. The other things of note right now are the birds. When we get to this time of year, we often have Christmas bird counts, and Christmas bird counts, yes, are going on in some different places. And we try to see just what birds are with us in the wintertime. That's basically what it is. A lot of times in order to do this, we can just look out at our bird feeder. And my bird feeders has been very interesting lately. I have the regulars that show up every day. They are the black-capped chickadees, red-breast and white-breast nuthatch. downy, hairy, red-belly woodpeckers, often pileated woodpeckers, and blue jay. They show up every day. But then I have a mixture of various finches. Now, the last time I spoke, the finch flock was mostly goldfinches. Well, since then, that has changed. A lot more of the purple finches have moved in, and purple finches are a little bit bigger than the goldfinch, and they kind of ease the goldfinches out. And though I think they're both still here, if now the flocks are more purple finches than they are goldfinches. And then scattered with them is just a few redpolls. Sometimes redpolls can number in the hundreds, but so far I haven't seen more than just a couple. Along with that, there are things like ravens and crows that are definitely around all the time. There's a couple kinds of owls, most notably the great horned owl and the barred owl that are more commonly with us in winter. Then we have ruffed grouse, and wild turkeys have become in recent years another bird of the winter. And so there's plenty going on. And so what we do in the Christmas bird count is we go out and we try to notice those and see how many there are. If there is open water, sometimes in the St. Louis River where I go, I can still see some ducks, namely Golden Eye. Golden Eye is a duck of the North Country. And when they winter, they come down here, and if there's any open water anywhere, they'll find it. They're so interesting. Okay, we're going into the new year, but is the new year really a new year? You know, our season, our year is cyclic, so it really doesn't have a beginning or an end. And so when they made the calendar many years ago, they pretty much randomly chose January 1 as the beginning of the year. However, I find from the phenology point of view, there is two things that happen this next week that are pretty good notes of the beginning of the year. One of them is around January 4, after having sunrise getting later every day for such a long time, about 6 months, we are now starting to get sunrises earlier. And then the other one, which is probably even a better note of the beginning of the year, is something called perihelion. Perihelion is when we take our trip around the sun. Perihelion is the time when we are closest to the sun. This is opposed to aphelion, what happens in July when we are most farthest away. And even though we're closest to the sun at this time in January, this year it's January 4, because of the tilt of the Earth, we're tilted away and we don't get the heat of the sun. But to me, perihelion is a pretty good time to mark the beginning of the year. And so, Chris, I'll pass it on to you. Happy perihelion and have a great year.
Thank you, Larry. Take care. Larry Weber for Backyard Almanac. Larry is an educator, author, and naturalist. He joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac, wishing us all a happy new year.